Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Great is our God and greatly to be praised. Yesterday we heard Solomon asked for wisdom and God gave him power and authority too. You ask God something, he gives you more. You ask him one question, he answers many questions. Once the disciples asked Jesus, show us the way. And Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So is our text in Matthew 18. The disciples come and ask Jesus, who is the greatest in the kingdom? But Jesus answered the question, but still he had something more to say. Matthew 18 is full of answers to many questions we dare ask God. One is such answer, unless you change or turn and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. This is kingdom talk, and the talker is the king himself. And the members of the kingdom, the subjects of the kingdom, cannot do otherwise. Follow the king. Our Lord manifests God's kingdom in his life and work, his mission and ministry. Mark 1:15 said, the kingdom of God is near, therefore repent and believe in the gospel. And believe we do because of the power of the Holy Spirit moving us, turning us toward God from our sinful ways and calling us to a life of repentance and to a life of fullness in the one who himself is the life. Our text comes in the context of glory and suffering. In Matthew 16, Peter said before all, Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And soon Jesus will tell Peter, keep this within yourself. There is something more to be done. The Son of Man must suffer, must be delivered into the hands of people. He must be crucified, die, and then rise again. Matthew 17, early in the chapter, we have the great transfiguration of Jesus with the prophets and the great glory of God shown among all people. The people who surrounded him could not even look at Jesus' face. But soon he will say, the Son of Man has to suffer and be delivered into the hands of people. He will die and rise again. Such is the call to repentance. What else can the subjects do which the king could not do? Could the subjects ask for a different lifestyle other than that of the king? In contrast to the way in which people of his time, Jesus' time, thought of the kingdom, especially the rabbinic scholars who thought that the wise and the prudent will enter the kingdom, Jesus picks up a child. In the midst of his disciples, he says, unless you change and become like children, you will not enter the kingdom. The path to the kingdom is the path to repentance and humility. Unless you change. Change is what's happening in people's lives, especially for those of us who have just entered the seminary. Change of profession. Change of vocation. Change in vision, change in a different lifestyle. We wonder why we are here. God has changed us, called us, and he said, be changed, be turned around. There's a different route to go, and that's what we are after here. Change is good. The psalmist said, God raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap and seats them with the princes of their people. Wouldn't I like this kind of change? God lifting us from the dust and raise us up from the ashes and seating us with the princes of our people. Such is the change God is effecting in our lives, calling us to be pastors, under-shepherds, teachers of God's word, giving us the gift to be able to divide law and gospel, leading God's people to God's kingdom. It is that kind of call that God has brought us in. Unless you turn and change and become like children, you shall not inherit the kingdom of God. What is so special about children? We know that they are not innocent, as many people think. They are not guilty, as many people think. Perhaps it is the humility that is so special of the children. At least children, to a great extent, follow. Children, to a great extent, hear, even though they may not always obey. There is that call. There is that call to heed to the shepherd, to the leader, to the teacher, to the king, to be part of God's kingdom. And what is that call? As the prophet said, to act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with our God. Our profession and vocation is not one of arrogance, pride, but it is one of humility and service and being available for others. Humility, the opposite of pride, which C.S. Lewis called the great sin. The very summons to repentance is a call to humility. Follow me. Take up your cross and follow me. That is the call God extends to us. Humility then is the preferred option for the subjects in the kingdom, those who follow the way of Jesus. It is the opposite of pride. Pride makes man look down upon others. Of course, as long as you are looking down, you cannot see something above, says C.S. Lewis. Pride is dangerous. Humility is a virtue that our Lord himself gives to us, not just in words only, but by his own life and ministry. Though he was with God, he did not choose that position to be forever for him, but instead he chose to humble himself and come down into our midst and suffer with us and for our sake and our sins. Because of that, God raised him from the dead and made him sit at the right hand of God with power, glory, honor, and authority. Unless you turn and become like children, you shall not enter the kingdom of God. Whoever humbles himself, God exalts him. As we travel, we are used to meeting stumbling blocks. If you are ever trying to drive in a high school campus, you will see speed breakers. And our Vice President of Student Life has put stop signs on our streets. It is good that stop signs are there. Of course, it is a hindrance. It's a stumbling block. We cannot keep up with the speed, but we have to stop. Stopping means we look around and look for other passengers and even pedestrians. For their safety, we stop. And as we travel the road of humility and repentance, there will still be stop signs, difficult situations, which causes us to ponder and think the way we are going and the guidance we are getting and the strength we draw, not to look down upon others, but to look up to him from whom all help and all wisdom and all the fund of knowledge comes. Tomorrow is September 11th. This date has found a special place in human history, especially the history of this nation. This date, for many others, may be a day of success and achievement, but for most of us, this is a day of suffering and sorrow and reflection. But through it comes a rejubilant hope and confidence and strength and resilience that we don't